It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's days like today that we should be happy that Andy Shaw and the Better Government Association are here in town. Andy Shaw, the former ABC 7 political reporter, is now firmly entrenched as our government watchdog. He's the president of the Better Government Association. I'm happy to have him here on the download on WGN. Andy, good to see you.
Great to see you too, Justin. Don't be so sure how entrenched I am. I'm getting old.
maybe that's my word for old.
There you
right?
go.
So talk about, I mean, I'm amazed. We just had Monique Garcia on it, talking just about how complicated this story is. So the CPS doesn't want to pay their payment. They want a couple more days. They go down to the, they have to get Springfield to sign off on it. Mike Madigan doesn't feel like he was included. They vote it down. They have to pay on Tuesday. But as Monique says, no, they still have 7 days. What's going on?
CPS is the biggest fiscal train wreck in the state of Illinois, and that's saying a lot because
right.
we have fiscal peril from top to bottom. The city of Chicago is barely above water. The state of Illinois would be in bankruptcy if there was a statute that permitted states
right.
to go into bankruptcy, and multiple municipalities and school systems around the state are in similar peril for such a simple reason. They all promise too much and never raise the money to pay for what they promised. In the case of CPS, they're facing a $1 billion shortfall between a mandatory pension payment mm-hmm. to the teachers' pension fund and a budget deficit. One of their gimmicks was to avoid paying into the pension fund for 10 years. Finally, the legislature said, it's time to pay the piper. This was the year that they were obligated to start catching up with a $600 million payment.
Okay, right.
Sad story, they don't have it.
Right.
They fudged their budget last year. They can't make the payment. They can't pay the bills. They can't balance their budget. They could be the first major municipal bankruptcy in Illinois. So, in typical form, Rahm, on behalf of the school board, goes to the legislature and says, help, we can't make the pension payment. Give us some time.
Right, right.
Well, this is the old story of kicking the can down
right,
the
right.
road. But the alternatives to that are even worse. Fire thousands of teachers, don't open the schools on time, get rid of gym and art and recreational activities. So, because the options are so limited, because the situation is so dire, the plan was to give them a couple of months leeway on this pension payment that's due July 1st. But there's a lot of resistance in Springfield to further kicking the can down
because,
the road.
Because this was their mandate. They said, you got to do this, and now here they come back.
And
with
everybody
with
wants to kick
right.
a can down the road.
Right.
You don't think Rahm wants the same thing for Chicago? He wants the same thing because he is facing a $500 million pension obligation to the police and fire pension funds. Now, he's been negotiating with them to buy time, and so he'll probably buy some time. But this is unbelievable. We are watching, Justin, the most severe fiscal meltdown in Illinois history. All these units of government are on the edge of the fiscal cliff. They're teetering precariously, and lots of them are on the verge of falling over the cliff, beginning with CPS. So I put on my crystal ball hat from the old political reporting days, and I think that they work something out over the next few days. The governor seems to want to help CPS.
Well, all the big leaders.
He's Rahm's
yeah.
friend.
Right.
They have to massage a few egos, but nothing in Springfield is dead until there's a stake through the heart. There's no stake yet. It's kind of like a vampire. You haven't killed it at night. Or I should say in daytime. I guess I'm a little behind the times, but I would say they'll find an accommodation of some sort that will buy CPS a little time, but it will do nothing to resolve the
real
problem.
Well, Andy, help us out here because you know we've talked about this for the last couple of years together. You've been in the business before doing the watchdog. You were a political reporter. When you say this is the worst fiscal situation in the history of Illinois, I mean, are we throwing out rhetoric? I mean, is it more than when Blagojevich put the CTA ads on? Remember, he used to have that ad like, give money or if you don't, but this is going to be taken away.
No,
like,
this
I mean,
this is real. This is real, Justin. The closest thing I can remember, and I go back a long ways, is 1979 when the Chicago Public Schools went broke another time. And what they did then was the governor was Big Jim Thompson. He brought all the stakeholders down to the mansion in Springfield in January. I remember because I freezed my you-know-what outside of the mansion. We were not allowed
to. You always remember those moments.
Yes. It took several days. They brought in the unions, the management of CPS, contractors. They brought in all the stakeholders, and they hammered out a deal. They created an entity called the School Finance Authority. It had the power to sell bonds. It also had the power to oversee CPS budgets and union contracts. In other words, it was a receiver, in effect. Right. But because it had credibility and business leadership, it was led by someone with deep business expertise, it was able to pull CPS out of the muck before they went under completely. But it started off a long, long period of CPS being beholden to a business-oriented, extraordinary agency. Now, I say that because some 40 years later, we could see the creation of another authority that will basically restore CPS's fiscal integrity over time with bonding authority and borrowing authority and a lot of rigid changes in the rules. Obviously, teachers will be unhappy, administrators right. will be unhappy, but at the end of the day, there's one bottom line here. We have 400,000 kids in the CPS system that desperately need decent educations. They haven't been getting them. It may be a little better under ROM than it had been, but they're a long, long way from really good educations, and we need to educate those kids. They're the future. The only way we're going to attack the crime problem mm-hmm. and the gang problem and the drug problem is to give kids the feeling that there's something other than those neighborhood ills, and that begins with education. And so at the end of the day, we're all going to have to pay a price. The bottom line here, and we'll move on to the next thing, is there's going to be shared sacrifice. No one is going to come out unscathed. Not the teachers, not the administrators, not the bureaucrats, and sadly, not you and I and the rest of the taxpayers.
I bring you on to sugarcoat this stuff, Andy, and now, yeah. now you're truth to power.
I wish I could click together my red shoes, and I could go back to Kansas, and everything would be fine.
Right,
but this is real life. This is not the Wizard of Oz. And so there's a piper to be paid. The only question is when and how much and in what fashion. It's not going to be pretty either at CPS, City of Chicago, State of Illinois, or multiple municipalities that have promised too much to police and fire pensions and now find that they don't have the dollars, and their taxpayers will not cough up a lot more.
Andy Shaw is the president of the Better Government Association. We come back. We'll take a quick break. Talk to you about some of your latest investigations. Also, I want to get your take on the sort of borrowing spree. You know, the city just borrowed $1 billion. The CPS is talking. The board's talking about another $1 billion coming up. So we'll talk about that coming up with Andy Shaw. Stay with us here. Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Pete pulling out the "Give Me a Little More Time." That's the theme for today. As CPS wants more time, Andy Shaw, president of the Better Government Association here in Chicago. You know, I mean, we've talked about the kicking the can down the road, and it seems like one of the ways that our governments, our municipalities here in town, are dealing with the financial pressures and the cliff, as you mentioned, this worst time in Illinois history, is to borrow, to go back, refinance, put more interest on it. But the idea is, you know what, we have to pay the bills, so we're going to borrow. CPS is talking about that. The school board tomorrow, the big meeting. We just saw the city council almost unanimously pass a $1.1 billion spending plan from Rahm Emanuel. From the BGA's perspective, what's your thought on the sort of big level borrowing that's happening?
Well, we don't second guess the specific solutions, but I will say this. With interest rates continuing at historic lows, borrowing is not the same kind of albatross it was some years ago. It is a version of kicking the can down the road, but in the city's condition. Same situation. $500 million pension payment due, $300 or $400 budget shortfall going into next year. Most importantly, a lot of financial gimmicks used by the previous administration to provide money for operations in some risky ways that would be good under some financial situations are bad under others. Mm-hmm. And when the Tribune, to its credit, disclosed all the financial machinations that the previous administration engaged in, one of Rahm Emanuel's solutions was to try to get out from under these risky schemes. That is expensive because you essentially have to buy the paper you sold right. in these crazy ways. So part of the borrowing was to clean up the ledger sheet and make the city's books cleaner and more transparent and also more appropriate. Others are to pay a bunch of bills that are questionable to be paid with borrowing. But at the end of the day, it's a version of the same thing.
Let me ask you,
the same piper will have to be paid
here. Let me ask
here.
You the big question in the room, and it's you just did a forum on it at the beginning of the month, the BGA forum on, you know, is Chicago going to be a new Detroit? And we hear this thrown around, and there's a lot of complicated issues when and sort of generalizations in that. But when it comes just to finances, what did you learn from that forum? I mean, is Chicago going the way of a Detroit, Michigan?
Well, Chicago has a long way before they're Detroit, so we have some time. CPS is much closer to having to face the big M, Muni bankruptcy. The other thing we talked about at the forum was that no one can declare bankruptcy in the state of Illinois, no governmental entity,
right.
without the approval of the state legislature. So the legislature has the power over these decisions. Any move to declare bankruptcy is going to become a partisan issue. Rauner favors municipal bankruptcy because it allows a restructuring of union contracts and other obligations. The Democrats and the unions predictably oppose it vehemently because it would undermine union contracts mm-hmm. and benefits and salaries. So given the composition of the state legislature, there's not much likelihood of municipal bankruptcy being approved for a city entity. However, and this we won't elaborate on this, we did another investigation a couple months ago. We looked at suburban and collar county municipalities with enormous police and fire pension debts. Many of those are teetering on the same brink of bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. No publicity attendant to that because
DuPage
no one
county,
covers the suburbs.
Lake County, like those
well,
areas.
Well,
right?
not counties, but municipalities within
inside,
those counties.
Of course, of course.
Dozens of them are being hard-pressed to meet their obligations and are also worried about the same thing. The mayor of Rockford is the only big city mayor who's come out and said, we don't need bankruptcy in Rockford now, but we're in trouble, and we want to have the right down the road to do it, and it ought to be an option. So I'm writing a column for the Sun-Times. I have a weekly column. One of the next two columns will be on muni bankruptcy. And the bottom line is it's real. It could happen, and we need to understand how it comes about and what it means
yeah.
and who suffers. End of the day,
well, we had,
same thing,
we had,
everybody pays the price.
We had the mayor of Downers Grove on earlier on, and you know, a lot of what they talked about was just sort of waiting to see how the dominoes fall from Springfield to the county to the city before they sort of can maneuver what they have to do. You know, before, you know, I would just thank you for coming in, and I want to talk to you all night, I would. But, you know, as we wrap up this hour, I do want to get to the investigation about the oversight or sort of over... what do you call it? I guess it was oversized classrooms.
Well,
you had an investigation about how CPS classrooms in the elementary level are way, way over the line.
Two real good CPS investigations, Justin, in the past 2 weeks. One, pointing out that CPS, with Rahm's permission, overstated its graduation rate.
Right.
They counted a lot of dropouts as transfers, so they didn't have to count them they didn't go against the graduation rate. So we determined that the graduation rate was at least 2 to 3% lower than
and that's
the,
big because he's percent. Looking for positive storylines.
This
that's
one not, is yeah. even more horrendous in terms of kids and learning. 1 in 5 elementary school kids in Chicago is in a class that is over the class size limits. The limit for K through 3rd is supposed to be 28.
28.
The limit 4 through 8 is supposed to be 31.
28 is huge, and that's the limit. That's a huge class.
We found classes up to 51 kids. That means that a couple hundred thousand kids are in classes larger than they should be. And this, of course, is because of budget problems. This is why watchdog activity is so important. Now, sadly, there's no solution for this because they can't afford more teachers.
Right.
And more teachers are the only way you can get smaller classes. But what we need to do is continue to let people know what's going on. That's why our mantra is shine a light on government and hold public officials accountable.
That's a big story about overcrowding and sizes of classrooms because, there are standards in this country that say you get to a certain point, and 28 seems pretty large to me, but 25 kids per teacher, and that's where learning is most effective. When you get up to 51 kids to one teacher, it's not even doing its job as sort of teaching second grade.
And the other criminal aspect here is if I was in charge of the Department of Education in Washington, Arne Duncan's job,
right.
I would get rid of so many of these different programs, and all I would do is I would take the billions of dollars they have, and I would make sure that every low-income, low-achieving school in America had a second teacher so that the 30 kids would be reduced to 15 kids per teacher. And then you'd have some learning and some outcome changes. Instead of 1,000 programs,
right.
Some of which or many of which are probably ineffective, I would basically give an extra teacher or some semblance of a teacher in every one of these classrooms. But this situation in CPS, not only are they on the edge of fiscal cliff, they're on the edge of rolling back some of the gains over the past 4 years. Another teacher strike looks likelier than it did because Karen Lewis's union is not going to put up with a lot of draconian cuts. And this is, like I said, as bad as it gets. And the watchdog work is important. I wish we could figure out the answers. We get a lot of good results from our work. We've done 450 investigations in the 6 years since I left ABC. 100 of them, 100 plus, have actually accomplished something. Employees disciplined or fired, bad policies changed, money saved. But sadly, when you're facing billion-dollar shortfalls, there are no easy answers. And so we'll continue to be on the case, but I wish I could tell your listeners ABC to solve the problems. There's no such thing.
I promised that you were going to come in here and solve the world's problems, and now I feel like I, like the government, have to pull back on my promises.
I can fill a half hour of your show, and that's about all, and hopefully make a few interesting points. But
you
solve
did.
The problems. We'll have to come back another day and do that. Can
I say
one last thing to your listeners, Justin?
Please.
It's what I used to say when I ran into you at other places. If people care about this watchdog work and they care about the value of vigilance, then they should go to our website, bettergov.org, and if they like what we're doing, be a supporter. You know, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We're only as strong as the people who support us, and thankfully we've had good support, but you know what? We're never going to right the ship of state until most of the adults in Illinois start paying attention, start voting for the right candidates, and start demanding the better government we deserve. We're not getting it now. It's as bad as ever, and so people need to wake up, pay attention to who's running for office, and support good groups like the BGA, and listen to good radio shows like yours.
Andy Shaw, the president of the Better Government Association. Andy, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.